Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. On New Year's Eve, God gave us the word for the year, advance. You probably guessed that by now. Advance is a statement. It's a declaration over us as a people. And it is a command for us to move and take territory. There may have been many things limiting you in 2024, but there's some things maybe that even delayed your promise. Maybe like Jericho, it was tightly shut up, gates closed, walls blocking your blessing. But God is saying in 2025, it's your season to advance and take possession of your promise. Walls will come down. How many believe that? Walls will come down. Gates will be unlocked. Look at somebody and say, it's my season to advance. We've been looking at the story from Joshua 6, and on New Year's Eve, God gave us the word. Last week, we talked about marching around the promise, and today I want to talk about blowing the shofar, or rather, blow the shofar. The instructions God gave His people were to march around the walls, the priest would blow the shofar, and the walls would come down. And let's start here in Joshua 6. But as you're going there to Joshua 6, I want you to look at somebody and remind them you have to blow the shofar. And before I read Joshua 6, I want to tell you what it says in the New Testament, because the people that were blowing the shofar on that day that they walked around the walls were the priest. But in Revelation 1:6, it says, He has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. So the people that were blowing the shofar were priests. But in this season, in this time, we realize that God has made us all kings and priests. And so we all have the privilege and the responsibility to blow the shofar. And my father just totally humiliated me many times growing up, making me a part of untold illustrations. And so in honor of that, I want to invite him and my son to the stage to help me blow the shofar. I'm not going to embarrass him like... There were many, many times I won't go into, but I was Isaac on the altar. I was a person on a ladder. I was just dressed up in many different ways, but today it's an easy thing. We're just blowing the shofar. So before we go there, let's read Joshua 6. Joshua 6, 1 through 5 says, Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out, but the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all of its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times, and the priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast of the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. I just want to practice one time to just make sure everybody's awake. We're going to blow one long blast and everybody is going to shout as loud as you can. Are you ready? Because listen, it's about sending a spiritual signal to your environment, to what's going on in your life, and even to the devil, that you are taking territory in this season. Are you ready? Stand up on your feet. We're going to do this by the Spirit. You're going to make this declaration, right? We're going to blow the shofar one long blast, and we're going to shout as loud as we can. Are you ready for walls to come down? Let's go. I can see you're awake. I can see you're ready. Now sit down. What is a shofar? The shofar is a ram's horn that the people of God used for several important purposes. The shofar could symbolize a time of sacrifice and repentance, much like the time of fasting and prayer that we've been on. The shofar could be used to signify times of celebration or times of warfare. The shofar was something that brought unity to God's people because it called them together for whatever purpose was important at the time. The shofar had powerful spiritual significance. When you hear the shofar, you may hear, my shofar players, you may hear the long blast.
Right. Here we go. Long blast. The first one. Long blast.
Now, the long blast, it calls people to attention, and it's the sound of joy and happiness. It is also the call to worship and to proclaim that God is King. Now, the second blast I want you to hear, it's three broken blows that sounds like crying. Are you practicing? Sounded better last night. Okay. Now, it's a sound of repentance and brokenness. Three broken blows that sound like crying. And some scholars believe it represents tears of sadness or joy at another year's passing. It also is the sound of mourning for the Holy Temple.
Right.
Now, the third sound is nine or more staccato rings that serve as a wake-up call to the new year. Nine or more staccato rings that serve as a wake-up call to the new year. It is a sound of warfare and celebration. That sounds like what we're doing today, right?
Yeah.
A sound of warfare and celebration. In some traditions, it's a single long reverberating blast. And last, it's a great blast played at the end of Rosh Hashanah service. It's the sound of healing. I can do it. For all those that have been wanting an illustration, there you go. The children of Israel marched around the city one time for 6 days, blowing the shofar. Then on the seventh day, they marched around the city seven times, blew a long blast of the shofar, and the people had a shout. If we think about the shofar as our time of worship and praise and prayer before the Lord, there are some days that we walk around the city once. There's a part of our devotion time, it's a part of worship time in God's presence that has to be consistent. The first 6 days was about consistency.
Yes.
It wasn't about length, it wasn't about loudness. The first 6 days, they walked around the city once, and they blew the shofar. Not that they went around the city a bunch of times, not that they were blowing the trumpet a bunch of times. It was about obedience and consistency, marching around with the trumpets playing once. This is important and essential part of our walk before God. Consistency. Look at somebody, say consistency. Consistency is vital in our faith. Just like the people of God walked around 6 days, just one time, every day, they just walked around one time. It wasn't about length, it was about consistency. So in our times of devotion before God, it's not always about a three-hour prayer. It's not always about a fast. It's about making a daily connection with God, about checking in with God. It's about consistency of being God being a part of our daily lives. For 6 days, they got up, they went around the town, and they came back. There was a pattern. There was a routine. They marched around, they blew the shofar, and they went back about the rest of their day. We have to make a daily habit. If we want walls to come down, we have to make a daily habit of blowing the shofar. We have to make a daily habit of prayer and worship, praising and celebrating God. There's power in consistency. If you want to see walls come down, you have to be consistent. Some people, they're consistent in January or half of January, and they've lost the consistency by February. We have to have consistency if we want walls to come down. If you want to see advancement in 2025, it's about consistency. Jesus said it like this in Luke 18. Prayer can be best understood like this. It's like a woman and an unjust judge. Prayer is like a woman who continues to go back and go back to the judge day after day to plead her case until even though that just the judge is unjust, he still has to give a verdict in her favor. Jesus said prayer is like that. Prayer is best understood through the lens of consistency. Prayer is best understood through the lens of persistence with our faith. Jesus said in Luke 18:7, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?" The answer is no. He will not keep putting his people off. He will hear and answer their prayers. So when you blow the shofar, be consistent. Look at somebody and say, be consistent. It's important that we address this at the beginning of the year because you have an opportunity to be consistent. Look at somebody in the eyes and say, you have an opportunity, 2025, to be consistent. Look at somebody else. If you want to see walls come down in 2025, you got to be consistent. Now, on the seventh day, they blew the shofar in a different way. When they reached the end of the seventh time around, there was a loud blast on the shofar. There are some seasons that will demand that you have intensity in prayer and worship. There are some seasons, there's moments when the breakthrough is right there, but you need something to tip the balance. You need an intense prayer. You need intense worship. You need intense praise. That's why if you want to understand how to bring walls down, it's not about being crazy and just running around the stage for running around the stage or running around with praise just to run around with praise. There's a reason behind praise. Praise brings the walls down. And there are moments that you're going to need to tip the balance in your favor. So the people of God had shown consistency for 6 days. They had shown obedience for 6 days, but on the seventh day, they needed to advance, so they had to show intensity. There's going to be moments in 2025 that you're going to need intensity to cause breakthrough. The Holy Spirit is going to whisper, or maybe he's going to shout to you that it's time for an intense season of prayer and worship. We just came out of an intense season of prayer and worship. It's going to take moments like that where we're consistent, and then we're intense. Consistent. Not a lot of Christians understand this. They're either way too intense all the time and they don't know how to rest, or they're intense, and then they burn out and they're not consistent. There's a truth here in how you blow the shofar, how you have your daily worship. There's consistency, and then there's a moment of intense worship that you break through. But if you haven't prepared the ground with obedience and consistency, you're not going to bring walls down with intensity. Just running into a battle, given everything, is not always going to bring the victory. There has to be strategy. We talked about that in Joshua 6. There was a strategy. There was a word from God, a strategy from God. There was consistency. And then there was intensity. There are times marked by consistency and times marked by intensity. Walking with the Holy Spirit and bringing walls down is about knowing the difference. Scripture says the sons of Zadok, they knew their times and seasons. There were some people throughout the Word of God, they could discern what the times and what God was doing in that moment. What was this, a time of consistency and obedience? I don't have to go 100. I just need to come out there and give my 10, 20, 30%, whatever. Get out there, get it moving, do what God said, and then be ready and be prepared for the seasons of intensity. When you know when, you have to know when it's just time to get up and pray and get about your day, and you have to know when it's time to pray and worship with intensity. There are some seasons that will take everything you got, all the faith, all the prayers, all the praise, because intensity tips the balance that causes the walls to come down. Now, one thing that I found about when we blow the shofar, when we begin to repent and pray and praise and worship with consistency, and in the right moments, intensity, you're going to see unity. The shofar in your life, the praise, the worship, the prayer, the repentance, the sacrifice, that's the shofar. It will bring a more perfect unity. The shofar brings us together in a more perfect unity. Jesus prayed this way in John 17, 21. I pray that they all be one, just as you and I are one. Listen, the more you develop your prayer life, the more you're reading the word, the more that you're worshiping and praising before the Lord, it is going to draw you into unity with other believers. The shofar accomplishes oneness. The shofar accomplishes unity. Remember what the shofar does when they would sound the shofar. People would know it's time to come together. Right. It's time to assemble, to do something. You cannot pray and worship and praise and still harbor offense. Correct. You have to lay down offenses to blow the shofar. You have to forgive to blow the shofar. You have to, the more you blow the shofar, the harder it is to hang on to offense and pains from the past. There's a deeper love that comes from blowing the shofar. There's a deeper repentance that comes from blowing the shofar. The byproduct of the shofar is unity. Psalm 133 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as the dew of Hermon, we're falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing and even life forevermore." Unity is like anointing oil on your life. The more that you're unified, the more that you will be anointed. Yes, you can be anointed by yourself, but there's more anointing in being unified. The anointing, the unity is like anointing oil that flows down from the top all the way to the bottom. Unity is what brings us together, and unity strengthens us. Unity is what anoints us for the new season. Unity is what causes us to advance. When we're unified, not even the gates of hell can prevail against us. How many know that? That's what Scripture says. The gates of hell or the authority of hell cannot win against God's church. And God's church, of course, the ecclesia, are the people of God, the united people of God. The devil can sometimes, if you're by yourself, he can beat you. But together in the body of Christ with other fellow believers, you become a winner. The authority of Satan is crushed by the unity of God's church. The more we as God's people blow the shofar and become unified, we become an unstoppable force upon the earth. What do you think happened to the Roman Empire when God's people blew the shofar?
They
They prayed, they sacrificed, they repented, they worshiped, they praised, and God brought the most powerful empire of the day to its knees. There is a power in blowing the shofar. God wants you to blow the shofar so that you can advance in 2025. When I say blow the shofar, I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about praise. I'm talking about being in the Word. Your daily habit of being in God's presence. God wants us to blow the shofar. There is territory that He wants us to take in 2025. Would you bow your heads with me? God, I thank You for each and every person that's here today. God, I thank You, Lord, that You have called them to advance. God, You've called us to advance as a people, but You've called them to advance personally and with their purpose and with their family. God, I thank You for what it means to us to blow the shofar. There are promises that we need to march around, and we need to not only be focused and zeroed in on what You've said, but we need to also have prayer and worship and repentance and praise. God, because the consistency and the obedience in our daily blowing of the shofar causes walls to come down. I thank You, God, for the consistency, and I thank You, God, for the intensity of praise, of worship, of prayer, of being in Your Word, of repenting, of forgiveness. God, I thank You for Your people. I pray that You would let this word be with them, go with them. Lord, let us meditate on these things, God, so that we can execute, God, what You've called us to do. There are so many good and precious promises that the enemy has tried to block or delay. But God, You have called us to advance, God, so that the walls will come down. Lord, I thank You for that. Thank You for Your people. And as heads are bowed, maybe you're saying, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be in my faith walk right now. I feel that I've kind of drifted, but I want to reconnect with Him. I want to pray for you today. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've really had a connection like that. But I want it. I want to know Jesus like that. I want Him in my life like that. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. There's something powerful about saying yes to Jesus, making a connection with Jesus, or reconnecting with Him. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I want everybody that believes or agrees with this prayer, you can say this prayer with us. Jesus, thank You for what You've done for me. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins and forgiving me. I receive Your free gift of forgiveness. I declare that You are my King. I want to follow You. I want You to lead me. Jesus, I'm sorry for my mistakes, for my sins. Apply the perfect work that You did on the cross to my life. And give me the strength to follow You, to follow Your commands, and to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit every day. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. I don't know about you, but the more I hear it, I get ready to advance. I want to tell you, this is your season. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Even if you feel like you've had some setbacks, I want to tell you, the Word of God never returns void, and He has declared it over you that you will advance. I'll leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is with you, you will be. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.